Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. Give me just a moment here. Let me restructure. I apologize, audience, for coming on a little late this morning due to some things that was out of my control. My best friend just died, and her husband just texted me. I got it just before coming on, so it's not a very good moment right now. And I apologize, but I'm in the middle of trying to get on the radio this morning. Give me just a second. Let me get Cynthia on so she can talk to you guys for a second. Good morning. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How? Good morning. And I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. That's normal. That's a reaction because that's what I normally would say. But this morning, Father God, I'll go right into prayer under the circumstances. Audience, please bear with us. And I will go directly into prayer. This Heavenly Father, we come before you and humble us in the house. Thanking you for this is today. So, Father God, we know, Father God, that there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to weep, and for when there's a lost loved one, we tend to want to weep. But, Father God, I pray right now for the family members and friends of Kelly. Father God, I know that you're able, and I know that you're able to keep him, and as they move towards you in all of this, there's no understanding to be gotten other than that it's all part of a bigger picture and it's all part of life. And so, Father God, I pray for Dr. Fletcher right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for her strength to get through the radio show. I pray for Kelly's family. And, Father God, I know that you're able. And because you're able to get them through it. If they just trust in you, because funerals and death has a way of bringing out the worst in people or the best in people. I pray that the best will show up and everyone will lean on each other and love each other as you designed it to be. And so with that, Father God, I pray for the rest of the day that everyone that has anything to do with the loss will move towards you. We call on the name of Jesus because it's been said and it's in scripture and there's no hurt that heaven can't heal. So, Father, and disappointment and loss. So I just pray right now for that. And I just thank you for the heart and mind, even though she's hurting, she showed up to do your will. And so with that, I say thank you. And amen. Dr. Fletcher, if you give me the subject matter, I will take it from there if you just want to listen.
I'll go ahead and we'll just double team it. It took me off, it caught me off guard because just as I was getting ready to come on, he texted me and said she passed at 6:30. He said, but he couldn't call me because, you know, he just couldn't do it. He just couldn't call me. But, you know, I thank God because, you know, last week, I was in Atlanta, and I was waiting on her because she was in and out. Somebody, I think you're making some noise. It's coming across.
Let me just close the door here.
Okay.
Go ahead now, Dr. Fletcher. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was just my spirit kept telling me, you need to go see her. You need to go see her. But even at that, you know, when we was in L.A., I told you what the spirit told me. And he was preparing me that this day was going to come. And that's been, what, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But last week, I knew I dare not come back home without going there. So I thank God for that. If you listen to the Holy Spirit will direct your path. And he will do that. And audience, that's just to me confirmation that he won't lead you wrong. He will not lead you wrong. Whew. It just caught me off guard. Thank you, Cynthia. I thank you for. I was in the middle of the moment and I didn't realize I had not even turned on the computer. I mean, not the computer. The system. I had it on earlier and I turned it off and forgot to turn it back on. So I thank you for that, and I'm going to go in, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to get started because knowing Kelly is the type of person, audience, that she's business-minded, and she would say, you know what, Dr. Bessie, you have got to go on. You've got to do it. She would not want me not to do the radio program. I can tell you that. That's who she is, and I can hear her saying right now, Dr. Bessie? She could say that thing, the sweetest, I'm telling you, Dr. Bessie. And when she say that, you know, her husband said, even when she was in her darkest moments, the moment you call and I heard her say, Dr. Bessie, he said, I knew. He said, she lit up. She would light up because she knew we were going to talk about God. And I'm not worried about Kelly this morning. I know she's okay. Because when I met her, she was strictly business, strictly about the money. She was, and we would go back and forth, and sometimes I would get just really twisted with Kelly, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to, Lord, I'm not dealing with this, and Lord said, go back. And it took us a while, but I knew I couldn't leave her because God sent me to bring her to him. So I led Kelly to the Lord, and we've had many conversations, and she had the best relationship with God. She would tell me, I would teach her that, you know, between 11 and 2 is the time that your body needs to reheal. People don't realize if you're not in bed by 11 to 2 o'clock, you miss that resetting of your body because at 12 o'clock is when the change come in, when the night leaves and the morning comes. People think that sunrise in the morning, that's the time of morning. No. The morning starts at 12. That's why the day switch over at 12 o'clock is the reason for that. And when we don't get enough of that time to sleep between 11 and 2, then the body will suffer. And you think you're running on something, but you're really not. The body's going to get weak, and then you can't really get your organs and things together. So anyway, we talk about stuff like that, and she shared with me. But the complications that she had, she needed treatment. She tried a few of them, and it wasn't seem to work. And she just told me, she said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to do it. She said, I went to the Father, and I said, Father, if this is the quality of life that I'm going to have on this earth, then I want you to allow me to come home. And from that moment on, she has been preparing for this day because she did not want to take chemo and all the other treatments that she was taking and the things that she was going through. And she said no. And she refused. When I went to see her last week and when I walked in that door, and this is the most amazing part, audience, and when God gives you someone and place someone in your life and you in their life, not only was I there for Kelly was there for me. God had her to lift me up because I was torn down. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, and
I was sitting here basically after losing my father, and so, you know, she got me back in the business mind, the business set, and getting back on track with what I'm supposed to do instead of sitting here looking and idly looking at the walls. So we were a good combination. But we had been friends for 2.5 years, and I'm talking about the type of friends that was we could say anything and no one judged the other. It was just pure love from the very beginning. But I never met Kelly. We had never seen each other. And she said, Dr. Bessie, this summer, you and I are going to take some time. We're going to the beach. We're going to spend, because she's from the Carolinas, South Carolina. I'm from South Carolina. We had a lot in common. She called it the Low Country, and she would I'm down in there, Charleston, and then, of course, I was not too far from Charleston. And so we had a lot of the common things that South Carolinians did and our parents and one thing to the other. And so we knew about the fields and working in the fields. So we just bond. It was just nothing but God and a spiritual connection. So when I called Kelly a week or so ago, and honestly, I'm just saying this, I guess this is my grieving period, so just bear with me. When I called her a couple of weeks ago, I didn't get an answer. And I told my daughter, I said, something's wrong. I said, I have not heard from Kelly. I text her, I call, couldn't go in the voicemail because it was full. So then I said, you know, I'm a detective, the agent's a detective. I said, okay, we're going to find Kelly, you know, because I didn't have her husband's phone number. I had the name of the business and all that. So I went in and looked for the business address, Angie went on Facebook. Angie actually found her husband, found his email. I don't know, I should find all that stuff, but she found it. And we texted him and called, you know, texted and emailed him, let me say it that way. But I called all of her business partners and left a message on each one of their answer service, and one of the ladies called me back. And, you know, Kelly was always a private person, very, very private. And so she wanted to make sure my relationship with Kelly before she started talking about stuff. So I told her a couple things that she knew then. And, of course, when I said my name, she said, oh, okay, now I got you. Then she called Kelly's husband, and her husband called me. So from that moment on, I've had contact with him every day. Every day he talked. So I am so grateful that I followed my spirit and went by there, and we just had the most wonderful connection physically. And we've been spiritual for 2.5 years. But when I walked through that door, she was in great pain. And they were trying to get her, because she refused to take any medication. She was fighting them. She refused to, you know, just submit. She had already made up her mind. But when I walked through that door, she just said, oh, you came. And she started crying. You came. I said, of course I came. I said, I was going to find you because that's what you would have done for me. And when they cleaned her up and got her dressed and everything, and I came back into the room, my husband says, I'm going to leave you all so you can have some time together. She was calm, and she told me. But she had told me, she said, I'm dying. I'm dying, and I'm going to die. I'm dying. So long story short, we had peace and we had conversation, and she'd go in and out and ask me about my business. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you cover this? She'd go into that business mode and she'd come back out. But I'm saying all that to say this. You never know who God puts into your life and why. But I thank God this morning that he chose me, because when I met Kelly, Kelly would say to me, I don't understand this stuff about Jesus is the only way. What do you mean Jesus is the only way? Doesn't make her a bad person. It's just that she had concerns about that. No one could ever explain it to her. And she worked with some of the best of, I'm talking about top ministries. And one day she was saying that, and God said to me, tell her that Jesus is not someone that you come through as a human being. Jesus represents love and my word. And once you believe in my word, then you receive the love, and that's the only way you can get to me. And when I said that to her, that clicked in her, and it changed something. She said, of all the people I know, I've never heard anybody to explain it to me that I get it. And you know what is so amazing? Thank you, Holy Spirit. It is so amazing because our topic this morning, God, I tell you, this is awesome. Our topic this morning is getting an understanding in your mother and daughter relationships. But the key word that stood out when I started writing out some notes is, I said, the key word that I want you to focus on is getting an understanding, the word understanding. Now, I never knew that was going to tie back in. I told you guys, I don't get up and make up topics. The Holy Spirit gives me my topic. And, wow. And that's all she needed. From that understanding, Kelly grew into, well, Dr. Betsy, I got to go, 11 o'clock at night, I got to go. You know what you told me, I got to get my rest, and I got to go and talk to, got to talk to the Lord. I got to, you know. And she developed such a wonderful relationship. So, no, I'm not worried about Kelly as where Kelly is. I do believe she's where she's supposed to be, and that's back in front of the Father. I do believe that with all my heart because I know the conversations. I know the change. I just know that I know. And so this morning, I just say, audience, you know, as her husband said, God collected another soul at 6:30 this morning. And I'm not sad. I just was shocked that I got it right when I was getting on the program. So thank you for allowing me to share that. And I'm going to do what Kelly would want me to do, and that is to go ahead and teach the word that God has placed in my heart this morning, and then I'll deal with my emotions at a different time. Okay. So thank you, and I'll do this, and I'll be right back to you, Cynthia. Thank you for being so patient with me. Oh, Lord. I text my daughter, and she's like, Mom, I'm praying for you that you be okay on the radio. But, I'm fine. I'm fine, honey. All right, let's go here. Thank you, audience. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for allowing me to share the shocking moment. And, Deborah, I did see your text. I think you texted me and told me that you were on, and I'll get back with you in a minute. So I'm going to go through this, and then once I get my commentary out of the way, then I'm going to bring you on too, Deborah, as well. Again, good morning. I have good news. God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world, and that's the truth. Even though, you know, it sounds sad, it's the truth. God does speak to mothers and daughters around the world. And when he speaks to your heart, mothers and daughters, he wants you to listen. Don't override when God touch you, when God tell you to call somebody, tell you to go help somebody, and God tell you just to pick up the phone, you know, just to see if somebody's okay. Because remember, God can do nothing without a body. The spirit can go nowhere without a body. That's why he created Jesus, so that he could come through Jesus to get to us. He had to come and figure out a way. How can I get to the earth? I've got to create a body to go through. I got to send the Holy Spirit there. So we are his workers. We are here to serve him. And if we don't listen, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, then his work is null and void. He can't get the work done that he wants to do. And what he asks us to do is to do what? Is to love one another. Because if we love one another, then he can easily work through us. Because he comes where love is. That's why I was telling Kelly, love. Jesus represents love. He speaks the word of love. And if we work out of love, then God can use us. He can use us to get the work done that needs to be done down here. He needs mothers and daughters to come together. This is not a joke. He wants us to come together. And the reason he wants us to come together is because We are the nurturers. We are responsible for the humans that are in this earth. Mothers and daughters, we got to understand, mothers, that we are responsible for the humans that are in this earth. They only got here because they passed through us. They are our responsibility as mothers. And any time that we get to the point where we just think it's all about us, we have missed the ball, we have missed the message, because the message is about, as a mother, we must nurture the children that we brought into this earth, whether we physically brought them into this earth or mentally connected spiritually. We are responsible. And it doesn't mean that it has to be a small child. We nurture each other. We all are children to God. There's no such thing as an adult to God. What do you mean, an adult to God? We're all his children. So as from one child to another, it's our responsibility. We have the role as a mother because the human passed through us, and technically we get that role as mother. That's what, just the same as Jesus and his mother. But Jesus still had a role to play, and his mother helped him play that role. She knew when it was time for him to produce the first miracle. She knew. The Spirit told her. She told him. And sometimes if you think about it, you would wonder, did Jesus know? Because when she said they're out of wine and son, you need to help them, the first thing he said, well, you know, what has that got to do with me? It is not my time. So obviously it says what? She was aware and she spoke the words. Words are powerful. And out of that word, he received revelation and an understanding that this is what I'm supposed to do at this moment. And he proceeded. Life is very simple. Once we get the word, you don't want to disregard the word. Sometimes we throw it to the side and say, I'll do it later. Oh, I'll call Ms. Jones later, you know. But now I'm busy. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I got to go here, you know. I'll try to get to her tomorrow. But I knew, had I passed, I would have missed an opportunity. And my daughter said to me, when we found her, she says, Mama, you got to go. I would hate for Kelly to leave here and the two of you didn't meet. The only thing that I regret about that meeting, Angie and I talked about it, my daughter, was to take some sweet tea. I should have took sweet tea in that room. And I meant to do it, and I got so caught up on my directions and following the GPS that I got there and forgot. But I was going to go in there with that sweet tea, and we was going to sit and talk with that sweet tea, because that was the date that we had for the summer. So Jesus got an understanding. And our stimulating topic today is getting an understanding in your mother and daughter relationship. If you don't have an understanding, then what do you have? What are you working out of? God said, get wisdom. But in getting wisdom, you must get an understanding. See, you can hear words all day long. We speak words constantly. Fruitful words, unfruitful words, words we should never even thought of saying to come flying out of our mouth. But those words have power. And those words will create something. Because sometimes when I'm teaching, I tell individuals that the reason words are powerful, and you may say, well, my words are not powerful, only the words of God are powerful. No, but you know what? Every word you speak is the word of God. Every word was created by God. You did not create a word. There's not a word in a dictionary or any book of any kind that you created. Every word was created just like every animal, everything on this earth was created through God. Every word was. So when you use one of his words, it carries the power of intent that lies within that word. You can use a hateful word, it's still got power of intent to hurt. That's why you chose that word. That's why you spoke that word to the person, because your intent was to hurt their feelings. Your intent was to break them down. Your intent was to get ahead of them. Your intent was to show that you're the powerful one, that you're not scared and the bully. But when you use loving word, your intent is to show love, sincere, kindness, caring. So whatever word you use, you must have the understanding of the word before you use it. Because if you understand the intent of the word, many words we would not speak. So today, mothers and daughters, I want you to focus on, like I said earlier, the key word, understanding. To understand something brings revelation. And once you get revelation, it's hard for you to do wrong or to go against that understanding. You know, if I ask you, what does understanding mean? Just think about that. What would you say? Most people say is that, you know, Dr. Fletcher, I know what understanding means. What do you mean? Everybody know what understanding means. You know, make me think I'm simple. But do you really know? Of course, you can Google it. You can look it up in a dictionary. But that only gives you a word definition of the word. And for many of you, audience, you know that I based my teaching on the power of the word. Those of you have been around me for years. In fact, I coined the phrase, your words create your thoughts, and your thoughts create your visions, and your visions create your reality. And if you don't like where you are in your life, you simply change what you say. That's how powerful. Look at words as a puzzle. When you're trying to get an understanding, just take the words and just throw them all out on the table. Just put words, see yourself, just see words all out on the table. Now, this is your visual, the vision. You got word. You start thinking about those words. You see those words on the table. They just out like little pieces of puzzle. So when you're getting ready to create something in your life, you want to make sure that you pick the right word to create the complete puzzle that you want to live into. So you don't want to just pick any word. You want to pick a word that really clarifies your understanding of what you expect to experience in your reality. So when we're speaking, and if you get this understanding, if you really get this, then you just won't speak off the cuff. You'll think about it. See, a lot of times when people talk to me, I used to just speak off the cuff. I used to just let words roll off my tongue, good, bad, indifferent. But thank God for Jesus, that's not who I am now. So now when people say things to me, I say, well, let me think about it. Let me pray on it. Because there's nothing I have to answer immediately. I don't have to please man. I have to please God. So if I'm careful with my words, he'll be careful to trust me. Because he'll see, okay, she's trying to get an understanding of what it is before she answers. Because once I answer you, the best that I am today, if I tell you that I'm going to do something, then I'm going to do that. And if I told you I'm going to do it and I find out it's not to my best interest and I'm going to lose because I said, I'm still going to do that. Because I should have thought before I opened my mouth. So what? I've got to do what I said. Otherwise, then I'm a liar. See, I got an understanding of that. So rather than talking fast and being a liar, I'd rather take my time because there's nobody that I have to answer to but Jesus. And I'd rather take my time with any human and say, you know what, let me think about that. And I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask because I made up my mind. Once I got a clear understanding, I don't want to have to go through this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. No, I want to receive what God has placed in my life, the gifts that he gave me. I want to see them unfold. In order for them to unfold for me, I'm not talking about you, because everybody's different and everybody's relationship with God is different. I got to be on the straight and narrow. I can't play. I'm too old to do it. I'm too tired to start over again. And I don't want to leave this earth and stand before my Father, my Savior, and the Holy Spirit, and knowing that I did not complete what I was sent here to complete to the best of my ability. So I anchored down to get an understanding of my purpose for this world. What am I supposed to share before I leave here? And it don't have to be fast. I used to think I had to do it fast. It had to happen right now. If it don't happen now, then what? You know, because that's the enemy talking to you. Everything is in God's time. All you got to do is trust God. As Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. 23, you can tell the mountain to be moved, and it shall be removed if you believe it. And 24, whatever you say and believe in your heart, you shall receive. If you hold on to that and get the understanding of that, then you'll have the patience to know that God is not a man that can lie. And your time is not his time. But before you leave here, you'll receive all that you've said, because God is going to do what he said that he's going to do. So words are so powerful. We give our power away when we agree to something without having an understanding of what was said to us or what was asked. We give our power away. In most cases, we just say, yes, okay. You're thinking that's a good way to get rid of the person. But is it really? You've just committed yourself to something. You just agreed to something. Let's just look at when you're in court. If you're in court and you're standing before the judge and the judge says your full name, she calls out your name, and then she asks you if you're the person mentioned. Is that you? You're going to have to say yes, no. You have to say something, because she's going to wait for you to agree or disagree. Why? Because at that moment, she cannot go farther into the situation or the case until she identifies whom she's talking to. So she's going to wait. And if you say, yes, that is I, then she don't have to do discovery. She don't have to ask the questions. If that's not you, then who are you? Why are you here? What has this got to do with you? It goes into a whole different series of questions. But once she realizes it's you, then she knows she can proceed, because she has an understanding now that I'm talking to the right person. This is whom I should be speaking to. She's clear. But let's just suppose that you say no. Then what will she have to do? She will have to say, okay, if you're not the person, again, series of questions. Who are you? Why are you here, and what do you have to do with the case? And you say, well, you know, I'm not the person. I don't have anything to do with the case. She just sent me here to tell you she can't make it in today. She didn't feel good. And a judge can do one of two things, send a court order or set another court date and demand she bring some kind of proof that she was out sick. Whatever the case is, she cannot go any further with that particular case, because she has an understanding. So same thing with your mother and daughter relationship. Your mother asks you something, and you just basically say, yeah, okay. Did you do something? Yeah. No, you didn't do it. So your mother, when you say yes, she's going to have the understanding, oh, she completed that task, and probably walk away to later find out that you didn't do it. See, the words, when you're talking about understanding, it's a key to it. it's more than just thinking like we've been thinking for the majority of our life, that I know what understanding means. The understanding means, you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. It's a clarity. It's basically knowledge of what has been said that is clear to you without a doubt. So that's why I teach my clients that when you are talking, in order to get an understanding, you must listen. You cannot get an understanding without listening. You must first listen to what is being said to you. And then you must repeat what you thought you heard back to the person in order to get the clarity that you heard what they were saying to you, or your mother or she was saying to you. So now that takes one person talking, one person with a pen and paper writing, because the mind can play tricks. One word missing out of a statement changes the statement. So I encourage you, mothers and daughters, in order for you to get an understanding of any issue that's going on in your life, don't just sit and talk back and forth to each other, because most of the times your mind is not going to be that concise with each word that comes out of someone else's mouth, because you got intro conversations going on in your head. And those conversations are going to tell you, oh, you forgot to text your friend. Oh, you're supposed to call so-and-so. And the person talking. And then when they finish, you just take one or two words off the end, and then you just take off. Don't even have an understanding of what they're talking about. And then it gets into an argument. And, well, you said, I thought you said, no, you said, no, I didn't say. And then here you go. And then it ends up people fall out and don't speak for a lifetime because they didn't get an understanding. That's why I like to write things down. I will write it down, and I'll send it to you written so that you will make sure we understand or whatever. If you get to the point, I'm going to shut up. And even sometimes, I sit there and tell you, sometimes we get to talking so fast. One day I told her, I said, you know what? We got to practice what we preach. I'm going to listen. And we started doing that. And that just brought everything down. It's a key thing. We all can forget it. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm perfect. I have to practice this myself. I have to remind myself of this. Because emotionally, our bodies wants to respond. But to get an understanding, Mother, I would say take that 3-minute timer and just set it. And for 3 minutes, just the one with the little saying in it, not the one tick, 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 because that throw your thoughts off. And just sit there, and both of you have pen and paper. Whoever's talking, the other one listens. And if you're listening, write down what you think that they're saying. And afterwards, you say to your mom, I just want to make sure I understand what you said. I understood you to say this, 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 and this. Is that what you said? Then ask the question, because you want to get clarity. You want to get an understanding. And she says, well, no, that's not quite what I said. Well, what did you say? Then you keep doing it until you get it right. Okay, so you said this. Is that what you said? Yeah. Now you got it. Now you got to process that just for a second. And then when you start answering it, then the mother's going to start writing to make sure that she understands what your answer is of the understanding of the words in which she said. Now, I know it might be kind of difficult there, but it's a very simple thing. Just listen before you respond. Let's just bring it down to that. And stop being emotional. Because if you don't have an understanding, your mother and daughter relationship is never going to get to the point where it is a bonding process and a place of love where you are there for each other regardless of what. Because what? Whether you all can agree to disagree, but work at getting the understanding, it'll make it much, much easier. So I'm going to come back. I'm going to go to Deborah. I'm going to come to you. Let's see here. Cynthia, let me get you real quick, and then Deborah, and then I'll come back up. Okay, go ahead, Cynthia. Good morning again.
Yes, good morning. Audience, interesting conversation.
Can't hear you. You sound
and
like
God,
you just.
You can't hear me?
Come a little closer to you.
Hold on.
Okay, you can.
Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. You know, I went to a conference last week, and that's why I wasn't on the show audience. And the conference was about silence no more. And it's about we were dealing with abusive.
I'm sorry,
issues.
Cynthia, you're
with,
going out, and if I can't hear you, I know the audience probably
hold
can't
on,
hear you.
Hold on,
what was the conference about? Okay.
Okay, hold on. Hear me now. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the conference was about silence no more. And I'm sitting here and I'm able to make a connection that it was silence no more, and the whole thing had to do with women in abusive relationships. And I thought about the conversation that you were having with regards to the discussion this morning about how you are giving instructions of how a mother and daughter, when they're having a challenging discussion, how it should go. First of all, you're being instructional. And so when you talk about the two things you were talking about and all you're getting, get understanding. That is, for the audience, that is in Proverbs 4:7. And then John 2 talks about the concept that you brought up about when Mary told the disciples to do what Jesus had told them to do. Again, instructions. When you follow instructions, you will never be resentful. It is, and then you talked about words and how words can be an issue. Jesus tells us in words that you have to be careful with your words because a word can bring strife and a word can bring resolve. But it's all in the words, and that's Proverbs 31:26 when he's talking about, he says, she opens her mouth, he's talking about wisdom. She opened her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And then a little ways up, Proverbs 15:1, he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we got two things going on in those conversations that you talked about this morning between a mother and a daughter, Dr. Fletcher. And this came from the conference, so I give all of the credit to Dr. Arraigned. This is what she said. When we're having these discussions, mothers and daughters, and we're going at each other, nobody's listening to each other, two things going on. You got a heart issue and you got a head issue. When you're in your head, all you can hear is that somebody is coming at you, so you feel that you're being attacked, so you're not listening because you're on the defense. And then when it's a heart issue, if a mother comes across kind, then you're affirming the person that I'm listening to you. The instructions that you gave this morning, Dr. Fletcher, which were writing things down and hearing each other, that is the heart part. And so that's saying, I'm listening to you, baby. I care enough about you to listen to you. So now you're affirming me because I know that you're hearing me. And so in the absence of us learning to listen to each other, we're so busy trying to make our point that we can't even follow instruction. And you said one more thing that made so much sense, and then I can definitely relate. When God tells you to do something, Mary is not God, but the instructions tell the disciples to do what they need to do. Twice in my life, I'll never forget it, and I promise God, if he ever told me to do something, I'm going to be mindful and I'm going to follow instructions. Twice in my life, a man came into the emergency room and he told me he felt like he was dying. I was off the next day. I came back, the man had died. Instead of me taking that opportunity to pray with this man or to pray over this man, because he may not have been a believer, I kind of just did what I needed to do to be done with him. Same thing happened to a neighbor of mine. I went to see her in the hospital. I went to work that day, and I stopped by her room to see her. And she said, Cynthia, I'm afraid. And instead of me taking that opportunity to pray with her, to lead her to Christ, again, I kind of dismissed it. I came back that, and again, this was a Wednesday. I came back, she had died. See, ladies, you got to follow instructions because the Spirit is always instructing us to do what we need to do. If Dr. Fletcher had not gone by to see Kelly, she would have missed. And she know that she know that she heard God tell her. And I was with her in California when she told, when she shared with me that God had told her that it would be soon that Kelly was leaving. And so if she had not followed the instructions of God, and the Spirit is always speaking, you got to know that you know that the, when the Spirit speaks, you got to follow instructions.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
She would have been broken this morning, but she would have been broken even more because she missed the opportunity to see her friend.
And more so than that, and more so than that is missing the opportunity to do what God told me to do. You know, that's even worse. And so, Cynthia, that was very good. That was wise. That was beautiful. I'm going to get some other people on. Hold on. I'm going to come back to you. Thank you. That was great. I'll be right back.
Welcome.
Good morning, Deborah. Hold on, audience. I'm coming to you. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
How you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thank God for this day. I want to first say my deepest condolences to you, your friend, and her family. And may she rest in peace and feel no more pain.
Amen.
And the topic, understanding, wow, Cynthia just put the icing on the cake with.
Yes, she did.
I mean, I could just say amen. I could just say amen. Y'all don't get it all. I could just say amen. And it just, I'll give one illustration about how I tell the lady, I just told the lady and her daughter that I've been kind of like mentoring. And the daughter's 13, and I just go back into my, you know, time and I'll deliver the story, right? So I said,
mm-hmm.
I remember what God said. Parents, don't provoke your kids to evil, and kids,
mm-hmm.
honor your parents that the days may be long. And God said that for a reason, because he know that both parties will be guilty of going too far with communication. And I also tell them, say what you mean, mothers, kids. Mean what you say, just don't say it mean. Because everybody got feelings, and everybody want to get their point across. And nobody wants to be wrong. Nobody wants to even being grown, me. I don't like when my boss tell me, Deborah, that was not right. Or, Deborah, listen to me. Stop shooting off. Because sometimes before she say something, I'm way off, and I tell myself, listen. Listen to what she said. Just don't say nothing. Just listen. Just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, understanding for me means to get knowledge. And then when you know something, you try to perfect it by gaining wisdom, is using what you know in a wise way. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I also got another illustration in school when a teacher is saying, you know, doing a lecture, and she says, do you understand? And then my hand shoot up like always. No, I understand. Break it down to me like a 3-year-old. So I believe that sometimes we have a miscommunication, mothers and daughters, or daughters and mothers, grandkids, whatever, miscommunication, because we're so in a hurry to get our point across that we're not fully listening. Are you listening to me? You know. And so I believe that we as people learn to listen and really absorb and understand what the other person is saying so we can make an applicable response, you know, in a timely manner. You know, let the person be finished talking and say, you know, are you finished? You know, and so you give them that complete opportunity to get it all out and then respond, you know. So it's a thing that we as grown people, just people, period, need to practice listen. Just listen, listen. Listen, not think about what you're going to say. You know, I saw people put their hand up while you're talking, and they said, don't do that. So set on, I see your hand. Put it up and put it down. I got you. Don't just hold it up because, like now, you just set on saying what you got to say. And sometimes that be like, parents like, you listen to what I say, and the kid is like, I just want to talk, and I'm trying to get my point across. And sometimes we got to assume the position that, hey, we just on the equal level. Let me just come down on this level with the kids, and let me just talk to the kids instead of saying, hey, I'm the mother, you listen to me, let me talk to the kids because they want to be heard and they got feelings and they got opinions and they got questions and they're trying to learn this thing, you know, and some want it more than others, and you got to be patient and long-suffering. And I think that if we could be more patient with one another, trying to raise them up and trying to give them advice and give them godly instruction, and we could just be patient with one another, we could probably get a better line of communication going. Because once you miss a word, like you say, one word can turn the whole sentence off. Like when Satan deceived Eve, he put one word in there. God didn't say, God said, surely you shall die if you eat from the tree. Satan said, surely you shall not die if you eat from the tree. He put not, just one word in there and throwed it all off. And she said, that sounds about what, like what God said. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the one word. And so she was easy to be deceived because she wasn't listening.
Right.
Clearly to God. Because she had her listening clearly to God and heard exactly what he said. She would have knew that not was not enough.
Right.
So
that is so true. That's a good point.
We've been struggling with listening for a long time. You know, like, and I'm practicing. I'm number one practicing every day. Every day with my boss, and I understand that she's not the enemy. She don't mean me no harm. She means me all good. She's trying to teach me. I'm in a process of learning. And sometimes it's hard. Even in school, it's hard. Like, I want to, hey, be still. Just wait your turn. Just listen.
Right.
Get an understanding.
Right.
What the person trying to tell you?
Right.
What is the kid trying to say, mother? What is she trying to say, father? What is she really trying to say? That it wasn't my ideal to go over there and get pregnant. But I was feeling some type of way. I didn't understand what kind of feelings. And when I tried to tell you that I was feeling, you told me, oh, no, you bring one home, you're going to take care of it. Oh, you cut off before she finished the sentence. She was trying to tell you she was having some type of emotions going on in her sexuality. And she was feeling vulnerable, and she wanted to be loved or touched or whatever. You're not giving them excuse to go and bring one home, but they probably was trying to talk to you somewhere down the line, you know, but being a parent, hey, we don't listen. Cut them off. And now you got a grandbaby that you love to death. Now you're doing this thing all over again. And it just goes on. But I believe communication is key, and I believe that listening is even more of a key. Is you got to listen real good to get the understanding and get that person that opportunity and that space to complete their sentence. And that's my take on understanding.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. That was a good take, too. And, audience, I just want to say when Deborah was saying that, I got one more lady that somebody here is on the line that's waiting. I got to go get this person. I'll be right back. Deborah, thank you for your take. That was great. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Okay. Let's see here. We have. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
It's been canceled. He don't resign, so they don't have any for y'all.
Okay. I think what happened, she must have hit the one by mistake. She texted me and told me she was at work. So there again, we got that. All right, then. I just wanted to make sure that she didn't have something to say. That's a mistake, I think, there. But anyway, I wanted to add on to what you were saying, Deborah, too, was that, you know, at what point in time, I'm going to open this up. Cynthia, you're live. Deborah,
yes,
you're live. Okay. At what point in time, this has been my thing, Deborah, you're live. When a child is 3 years old, it just came up in my spirit while Deborah was talking, that we as parents need to treat our children as they're 3 years old when it comes to communication. And the reason I say that is because when they're three, we will get on our knees and look them in the eyes, and we will ask the question, do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm saying? And you will look in their eyes to get confirmation. And I'm a big stickler on that. At what point in time do you stop looking in your child's eye? At what point in time do you start, you know, asking the question, do you understand? See, we assume when they get a certain age that they understand. And that's where we mess up. Okay, we only have 60 seconds. I'm sorry. I thought we had more time. But basically, I'm going to close with that. You know, that's where we messed up. We just assume that they understand without asking them the question, do you understand? All right. Anybody got a final comment before I close out?
I think we said it all. Deborah, that was amazing. Deborah, because learning is all about making connection, guys. Learning and instructions is the key.
You two topped it off today. Thank you so very much. I appreciate you. Love you guys. And I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show, and I would like to dedicate this show to my friend Kelly. Welcome home, Kelly. I know you're having a good time in front of the Father. All right, you guys, have a good day. Remember, let's work on understanding. Let's work on getting an understanding this week. Just practice that and see how easy and how much better we can show the love that we have in our heart for each other. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.